Good morning, Texas. It's a joy for me to welcome you to my Cup of Goodness morning program, my purpose being to talk about the goodness of God. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? I hope you have your Bible, a piece of note paper or two, and a sharp pencil ready. And if you would like, your morning cup of Java or juice, or even a glass of good old clean H2O. This is what I call a no-spin zone for Bible study, where you will hear straightforward teaching from a King James 1611 Bible, rightly divided, of course, based on Paul's writings, not based on verse-to-verse comparisons, according to whatever school one has graduated from, or based around any specific denomination or Bible institute, or even from any popular pastor or radio personality. It's always my desire to speak with plainness of speech, with no flatteries, not with wisdom of man's words and fair speeches, and of course there will be no pressure or guilt coming from me. I will use no other modern Bibles or authors, and there are certainly not going to be any trips to the Greek or Hebrew dictionaries and lexicons to try to make a verse say something when in all actuality that isn't what it's saying at all. A false teaching is simply a teaching from the Bible that is being applied to the wrong dispensation. It's that simple, folks. Rightly dividing the word of truth clears up all supposed contradictions and common confusion that we hear from today's modern Christian pulpits that are full of Bible correctors and corruptors. During this program, you will hear the simplicity that is in Christ from the simplicity of your rightly divided King James 1611 Bible. It really is a Bible that is simple enough for us all to understand, even including our kids way down to fifth grade. This is an understanding that we can have totally, and on our own, if need be. Paul calls it the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Looking to the teachings of the risen Savior as given to Paul, and then to us, we can learn the way of God more perfectly through a rightly divided King James 1611 Bible. Let's get started with program number 30. I'm going to try to explain this morning the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Now, you can find a couple thick books on the subject, but a general understanding is all you need to see the difference between what went on during the Gospels with Jesus teaching to the Jews and what's going on with Paul to the Gentiles and the difference in teachings and how this comes about. So, let's look at kingdom of God versus the kingdom of heaven. The first thing is you're going to think of the word heaven. You're thinking probably you're up in someplace up in the sky, kind of, you know, either on clouds, you're just up with God someplace, and that's heaven to you. But a closer look, which we'll see here, when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about a literal, physical kingdom on this earth. It's an earthly kingdom. Eventually, it becomes the kingdom of Israel. That's the whole issue here. But at the beginning, it's just three different kingdoms. Three different kingdoms? I thought you said kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. Right. Kingdom of heaven is a physical kingdom. Literal, physical, there it is, you're in it, kingdom. Kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And then that third kingdom is the fact that this world belongs to the devil. He's the god of this world. This is his kingdom. Now, the Bible is all about a throne. It's all about who's on that throne at the time, who's in charge, who's running the show, and it's about a kingdom. Which kingdom is he running? Who sits on the throne during which kingdom? That's what we're talking about here from Genesis to Revelation. So, let's look at a couple of verses here. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of their congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's the devil. He wants this place to be his. He wants to be the God of this world, which is one of his names. Now, let's look at John chapter 18, when we realize that Jesus Christ is not claiming any of this earthly kingdom, then we know that this belongs to the devil, just like it says, God of this world, prince of power of the air, etc., etc. We see in John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus was talking with Pilate, and Jesus, in his answer to Pilate, said, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So if we go to Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, we see that there will be a time when all these earthly kingdoms will belong to the Lord. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So we're looking at a time when the devil got a hold of this world. Then there was this kingdom of heaven on this earth. Then there was a kingdom of God, spiritual kingdom. So let's take our thoughts now. Let's go back to the garden. Okay, so now we know someday these kingdoms are going to all belong to God. But for right now, let's see what happened. Well, if we go to Genesis, let's go back to Genesis. We can take your pick, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. It really doesn't matter. It just goes back to the first couple chapters of Genesis. We'll just go to chapter 3 here for one of the verses. What we have here is we've got Adam and Eve. It was a literal, physical kingdom, but it was also a spiritual kingdom. It was the kingdom of heaven, and it was the kingdom of God. So now when they fell, when the whole thing crashed, then the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom, all the spirituality that they had, was gone. This is when the devil claimed the world. This is when he was there. He was there. God put him in his place, and this became his kingdom, the kingdoms that the devil had. Now, during this time, remember the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom, now it left. It's gone. All through the Old Testament, it is all about the kingdom of heaven. It's all about an earthly kingdom. Who were the kings? Okay, they weren't all called kings, but they were all in charge of God's people. You started off with Adam. That was the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Then you had Noah. That kind of followed up after all that stuff. Had to restart that whole program over again. Then you have Abram. Eventually Abraham. So from this point on, you've got Abram. He was the main character. He was the king of sorts. You've got Isaac. You've got Jacob. You've got Judah. Then you've got Moses and the law. You've got Saul. It wasn't who God chose. But then you've got David, who God did choose. Then you've got Solomon. That was when the kingdom was divided. And then something took place in Jeremiah. Let me show you something in Jeremiah. We're looking at Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 28. Is this man Coniah a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore they cast out he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. This is when the kingdom of heaven ran out of kings. This is when, if you read the details of what took place here, this is when God said, okay, I'm done. We're done having anybody on the throne of such, of this kingdom of heaven, this earthly king, which we call the Old Testament as such. When this was done, we now have an earth where there is no kingdom of God and no kingdom of heaven. It's wide open for the devil to use. This is where the book of Daniel comes in. This is where Nebuchadnezzar, who's a type of Antichrist, this is why where he comes and he does what he does. So as we study Nebuchadnezzar, what he did, and we read through Daniel, for example, we see an awful lot of things that are going to be, that are typology for the Antichrist and the tribulation. Okay? So then we come along with this man named Daniel. Daniel has a dream of what's going to happen. Something's going to take place in the future. Okay. So that was kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God left with Adam. Kingdom of heaven went all the way through these guys. It comes to Jeconiah, and it's done. Now there is no kingdom of God. There is no kingdom of heaven. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Jesus is coming down. God manifests in the flesh. Jesus is coming down. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. And here comes John the Baptist, and he's saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look at chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, so Jesus was here. He was to be their Messiah. He was to be their king. Go to chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What you will learn, as you will see as you're in your reading, that these Beatitudes and the things that Jesus is teaching, he's teaching so people would belong to him, they would follow him, and that would be the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me just throw something at you here. Go to Mark chapter 1. We go to Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time was fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, what do we got going on here? Look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So the parables are there to help people understand the kingdom of heaven. Parables aren't there to us today. The Beatitudes are not there to us today because we're looking at this kingdom of God, which we'll show you here in a minute. Here's Jesus coming to the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, both of them. Just like it was in the garden. The Jews had their chance to have it back the way it was. But, we all know what took place there. Now, I'm going to jump the gun just a little bit here. You go to the millennium, Christ will be coming back with both kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God again. And that's what the millennium will be. Physical kingdom with a definition of kingdom of God. What is the definition of a kingdom? What is this kingdom of God? Okay, go to Romans chapter 14. You look at verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Meat and drink is something you can see, something you can handle. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual kingdom. Well, so Jesus comes back, comes down, and he has the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven for the Jews. And, they kill him. Peter comes along and tries to tell these Jews in Acts chapter 1 through 8, you guys killed the Savior, our Messiah, and could have come down and started over again still, offered the kingdom to him again, and they kill Stephen. They had their chance with Stephen. They killed off Stephen. Then Jesus goes on to Paul, on to the Gentiles. And what is it that Paul is teaching? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 28. Acts 28. Verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the risen Jesus now, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So Paul comes along, and now his whole ministry is on the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of heaven is gone. They killed the preacher. The Jews had their chance to have this earthly kingdom. Now Paul preaches the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. No longer is the kingdom of heaven an issue. It's gone. It's not impressive to God whatsoever. Any more than the spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God was during the kingdom of heaven times in the Old Testament. Kingdom of God had nothing. Now we have the kingdom of heaven having nothing. Now, when the rapture wraps, that's Paul's preaching, that's Paul's teachings to the Gentiles, what's going to disappear? You'll see the kingdom of God's going to disappear. Well, if the kingdom of heaven is already gone, it's not an earthly kingdom that they can build, and the kingdom of God is gone, which is a spiritual kingdom to the Gentiles, the kingdoms belong to the devil. He's got full reign of the entire earth. Well, that's what the tribulation will be. They'll have to come down. They'll have to be walking the walk, and they'll be part of the whole tribulational thing. So when Christ comes back at his second coming, what do you suppose he's bringing with him? Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. And he'll destroy the devil, lake of fire, etc., etc. Off they go into the millennium. Now, let me see if I can say this see if we can review this one time here. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, in the garden. Adam and Eve ruined it. Garden was no longer available to them. Spiritual kingdom is gone. They have a kingdom of heaven all the way through. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Moses, Saul, David, Solomon. Gets to Jeconiah, cuts his name in half to Coniah. No more male seed. There is no kingdom of heaven and no kingdom of God. Devil takes over through Nebuchadnezzar. It's a type of Antichrist. Nebuchadnezzar becomes a type of Antichrist. Daniel gets his dream. Jesus comes down. He comes back with both kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. They kill Jesus, offers it to him again through Peter and Stephen. Not interested. Kill preacher. They kill Stephen. The risen Savior goes to Paul. The kingdom of heaven is gone. There's no earthly benefits at all. But what Paul is preaching is the kingdom of God, spiritual kingdom. And when the rapture wraps, the kingdom of God will be gone because that's the gospel that Paul's preaching. And then we'll have the tribulation because there will be no kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. It'll all belong to the devil. He gets his ways. And then Jesus will come back. He'll come back with this kingdom of heaven, earthly kingdom, and a spiritual kingdom all at the same time again. He'll take care of the devil onto the millennium. Now, that sounds a little complicated, I suppose, but it really isn't. But what we really need to get a hold of is how does that affect us today? What are you talking about, kingdom of heaven? Kingdom of heaven, which does not exist today because God wants Paul to preach the kingdom of God. So this earthly kingdom, religion, church buildings, denominations, programs, numbers, gain, physical gain. Remember what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6? Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. That's physical gain. From such withdraw thyself. This kingdom of heaven is about prayer sessions, overnight prayer meetings, the numbers of people praying, health issues, sicknesses being healed. How can you say that? Because that's what signs are. Miracles, wonders, signs, trinkets, jewelry. You know, all the things that we think please God that we do in our walk, in our works today. It's all in religion, within religion. Music. A good performance of a rock and roll piece, for example, or something along those lines that deals with the flesh. We'll talk about that sometime. It's things that people do. It's a physical kingdom. Bunny trail. So if God isn't going to bless these actions in a physical kingdom, if there was no response from God, then you would think people would wise up to the fact, well, there is no kingdom of heaven. Now they would understand this stuff, and they would be walking a spiritual walk. Well, who's going to jump in and take these miracles, these signs, these wonders, these church buildings, these fountains, these religions, these numbers, these denominations, all these things that take place in religion, who's going to bless those? Well, the devil's going to bless those to make people think that that's legit. So we come to the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom. What do you have there? You've got a King James Bible. Sure, it's a physical book, but it's spiritual in its action. What do you mean by that? Look at 1 Thessalonians, just for one example of a verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So it's a spiritual book. It works in our hearts. Paul calls it the unsearchable riches of Christ. The riches of the full assurance of understanding. We have our personal spiritual growth in our lives, which does affect our walk, and our walk will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. That is, of course, if you have the risen Savior based on faith. That is, of course, if you receive that spiritual operation. If you receive the faith of Christ, it's all spiritual. And that spiritual growth will result in your walk being a better Christian walk. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, again, verse 9. For they themselves, the people in Macedonia and Achaia, for they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we, that's Paul and his buddies, his gang there, we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That was done because of spiritual growth that they changed their physical growth. But it is not about the kingdom of heaven. Paul preaches all the time. He says, preaching the kingdom of God. You'll get a boldness as a Christian. Not a anger, a shouting loud physical thing. It's just being bold by telling the truth. You'll be strengthened with might by his spirit, it says. These are all spiritual things. What we see today is a religion, or we see religions trying to build the right thing, trying to conquer the world for Christ. And we've talked about how that conquering concept is a concept from the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 6. They're trying to build a kingdom down here. They've been trying to do this since the Dark Ages, build that physical kingdom. And if you weren't part of that physical kingdom, and you saw that the kingdom of God in the King James Bible that Paul preached, well, you were killed. You were tortured. Inquisition. All those things took place. It has always been the desire of religion to build a kingdom. Kingdom of heaven. That's what this is called in the Bible. When Jesus came, he brought the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Sure, he will reign over this earth spiritually as well. They got rid of him. They got rid of Stephen. Kingdom of heaven is not important. It was important in the Old Testament, but it's not important in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the kingdom of God was not there. It was not important. But the kingdom of God is what Paul's dispensation of grace is all about. And when Jesus Christ comes back at the second coming, he will come with both kingdoms, because both kingdoms will be gone at the rapture. So the devil will have, it'll be his party again. Just like the Nebuchadnezzar party was in Daniel. And you can study the book of Daniel and see what the tribulation is going to be like. Because he's the type of Antichrist. And that's, by the way, where music gets involved. When you study Daniel chapter 3 and 4, and you apply that to the tribulation. Oh my, if that isn't a marvelous study with some far out conclusions. What's going on today? And now the main emphasis in our churches is music, not the preaching. He got rid of the Bible. He got rid of the Word of God with over 300-400 different Bibles out there. Nobody wants to hear doctrinal preaching. Nobody wants to hear King James only. They just want to have their music, and they want to have a great time. They want to feed their flesh in religion today. They're trying to build up a kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of God is against all that stuff. And the devil's trying to build up this kingdom of heaven, because what is he going to have when he comes to the tribulation? He's going to have the kingdom of heaven. Is it God's heaven? No, it's an earthly kingdom. Is it God's kingdom of heaven? No, not at all. It'll be his kingdom, the devil's kingdom. When Christ comes back with both kingdoms, he'll get rid of the devil, and millennium begins, and then it'll be the Beatitudes. Then it'll be the gospel books again. Then it'll be the rules and regulations in Matthew again. That stuff will all come back during the millennium. Well, I hope I've explained a little bit the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of heaven. There's so much I could talk about that. Just let's close with this, that the King James Bible is both kingdoms. It's a book. It's ink. You can write in it. You can underline it. You can accidentally drop it. It can fall off the roof of your car, which I've seen a few times. And it doesn't hurt God. It's a book. But within that book, it is the Word of God. It is the words of God. It's been inspired and preserved. It's been around for 400 years. How come all of a sudden it's no good to modern Christianity? Because this is a kingdom of God within this book. And religion puts forth the kingdom of heaven. I hope that helps you understand why I'm teaching so much I do about Paul, his teachings, kingdom of God, spiritual kingdom. I'll try to keep this included in the different sermons and the different programs I'm doing to help begin an understanding of the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, Paul's teachings, Jesus taught to the Jews, Paul's teaching to us. And that's what's important to us in our judgment seat of Christ.